Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the, here's my word, babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Please get that. It was a band of angels that gave them the message, but they recognized and acknowledged that the message came from God. Okay? It is a happy day in your life when you realize God is talking to you. He may use a child who stands up and says, I'm glad the blood of Jesus cleanses from all. That may be all you get out of this service. If that's all you get today, you got a truckload. So learn to recognize when God is speaking to you. They said, God hath made this known unto us. Verse 16. They came with haste, found Mary, comma, Joseph, comma. Aren't you glad for those commas? Somebody said, for years, preacher, I thought it was Mary, Joseph, and the baby all crammed in that manger. The baby was the only one in the manger, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. If you'll mark your place there in Luke chapter 2 and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 says in verse number 16, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Let me encourage you to block out any distractions that you need to and pay attention to God's Word. I've never had a heavier burden on my heart at Christmas, and I've never, Brother Derek, had a heavier burden for such a simple message, okay? If Brother Morris hadn't encouraged me over the years and others said, I'm glad you preach simple because that's how I understand it, I would really be struggling this morning because this is going to take the cake when it comes to simple message. Here's the thought. Why a baby? God promised Adam and Eve, He said that the serpent is going to bruise your heel, but you'll crush his head. He said the seed, your seed will do that. He promised that thousands of years ago. And all the prophets who wrote about Jesus coming, even when Isaiah wrote in chapter number what we call 53 and said that as a root out of dry ground, when he said that, when Isaiah chapter 9 said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. When all of that was written, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that those men wrote things they didn't even understand. So none of them could have ever really grasped the idea. I started to get a little baby doll from the nursery. None of those prophets could have ever grasped the idea that this was the answer to all their problems. Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, I know exactly what you need, here's the answer, and then they showed you the answer, and they were, and you were like, really? That's going to solve my problem? Forgive me. I hope this is not offensive, but I've thought about it long and hard. I'm going to share it anyway, okay? How many of you like It's a Wonderful Life? How many of you cry when you watch It's a Wonderful Life? Okay, me and Miss Kim. Okay, and the older I get, the more I cry. Okay, when he says at the end, no man is a failure who has friends, it's man the lifeboats. Okay, I ugly cry. I'm wailing. Chris is going, you know, the kids are going, what's wrong with Daddy? Nothing. It's his annual It's a Wonderful Life fest. Okay, but here's the deal. Okay. When Clarence shows up and tells Jimmy Stewart, otherwise known as, when he shows up and he says, I'm your guardian angel. I'm here to solve all your problems, okay? George Bailey looks at him and goes, huh, looks like the kind of guardian angel I would get. You're, really? God woke me up in the middle. You got the bow tie. I mean, you got it going on, buddy, okay? I mean, that is vintage right there, okay? And he woke him in the middle of the night, and God said, I've got an answer for you. And he says, that's my answer. Let me tell you something. The world looked at that little helpless baby, and they said, that's the answer to all my problems. And they didn't like it then, and this world doesn't like him now. Miss Amber, what was the first thing you wanted to hear out of Morgan's mouth when he was born into this world? She wanted him to cry. He was so premature, the doctors weren't sure that that would happen. They had prepared them for the worst. They said, we may have to whisk him out of here, hook him up to breathing machines. And she begged God for months. She said, let me hear my baby cry. Morgan was crying last Wednesday, and Miss Amber wasn't too thrilled about it. But Barry, it's very appropriate that the first thing a baby does when it's born is cry. How many of you have figured out that before you finish this world, you're going to do a whole lot of crying? Isn't it appropriate that we start out with a wail? We have no idea how many more tears we're going to cry. Yes, sir. And while that first one, Miss Amber, is sweet, the rest of them not so much. Y'all with me? Right. Let me tell you the message. Here's why Jesus had to come as a baby. Because 1 Timothy 3:16 says God was manifest in the flesh. Cam, if he had showed up as a 21-year-old strapping young man on a stallion, leading an army and conquering this world, he would have missed everything you and I have suffered as mankind. He had to start as an embryo. He had to start as an infant to experience everything that you and I have and will experience in life. He had to experience all that if he was going to be a merciful and faithful high priest. I want you to go to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. Church, here's what I'm wanting you to get today. You haven't, you will not experience anything that Jesus hasn't experienced. You'll not go through anything that Jesus has not experienced. Look in Mark chapter 4, verse number 37. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind. And look at that next word, would you say it? Said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Listen to me carefully. The man who was God enough to step out on the bow of that boat and say, peace be still, and the winds die and the waves lay down at his feet. The one who was God enough to do that had to sit down with his mommy and daddy at 12 months and learn how to talk. I count Brighton. I hope Derek and Elaine are okay with that. Got 5 grandbabies. And boy, we spend the first 2.5 years of their life teaching them to walk and talk. And we spend the next 21 asking them to sit down and shut up. Not really. But boy, isn't that something? Mama. Bob, whose girl are you? And they don't even have to say the word. If they'll just go, I have a fit. We teach them how to talk. Brother Morgan, Jesus had to learn how to talk. But when he learned how to talk, 33 years later, he stepped up on a boat and he didn't just say, he said, peace, be still. And the truth that I want you to see about the words that came from his mouth is this. He was going through that storm with them. They didn't have to wave an emergency flag. They didn't have to shoot off a flare. He was right there in the boat with him. And I want to say to every one of you here this morning, there is not a storm in your life that Jesus is not able to go right through with you. Step out on the bow of that boat and say, peace, be still. But church, he came as a baby. He didn't skip those first 21 years. He didn't skip those first. He could have showed up on the scene at the age of 30 and led an army and conquered all the sin of the world. He could have done it any number of ways, but he chose to come in the form of a child. And the God who spoke had to learn how to talk. I want you to look in Mark chapter 6, verse number 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves. The one who was God enough to walk over top of boisterous waves. He didn't calm the waves to walk on them. He walked on them while they were boisterous. And the one who was God enough to walk on boisterous waves as a 10, 11, 12, 13-month-old baby, his mom and daddy said, come to me. And Joseph held him, and Mary got about this far away, and they let him go, and he went. And down he went. And they got him up, and he didn't want to try it again. And they said, you can do it. And there's Jesus. And then he got up. And he did it, Preacher Raines, because 33 years later, he's going to have to walk on water.
Amen.
Now this storm, Jesus wasn't going through with them. The first storm, he's already in the boat. But if you'll look at your text, I won't reread it, but if you'll look at your text, the Bible says he would have gone right by them. You remember reading that? He said he'd have walked right by them, but they cried out. And when they cried out, and they didn't cry out for him to come, they didn't say, come help us. They cried out in fear because they thought he was a spirit. Y'all in the text? This will help you right now. His testimony and this little bit right here will help you, okay? He was going to walk right by. They thought he was a ghost, and they went, ah! They screamed like girls. When they screamed, he came over and revealed himself to them, and he got in the boat with them and calmed the storm. So here's what I want you to get. Number two, the first storm he went through with them. The second storm, he didn't come until they cried out. But I want to remind you something. They didn't cry out for him. They cried out in fear. You know why we don't get help? We're too proud to admit we need it. We're too proud to admit we're scared. Here's what, y'all ready? I got this. My daddy raised, I'm a man's man. I'm going to pull up my boots and cinch my belt. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to make this marriage work. I'm going to work out these finances if it costs me my family to do it. I'm preaching right down where we live. If we'd ever get honest enough to cry out in fear, they weren't preaching, they weren't even asking him to come help. They were simply, Brother Farmer, admitting we are scared to death. Emily, that's all they had to do. I'm scared to death. Seth, they didn't ask him, come, would you come to the storm like you did? All right, we know you can do this. The sequence isn't right. They said, would you calm this storm and come get this? No. They cried out in fear. They thought he was a ghost. But when they admitted they were afraid, how much help, Brother Morgan, could we get from God if we had simply admit that we're helpless? I need a witness right there. But we're proud. Okay, I'm using little children as my sermon illustration for tonight. How many times has he said to y'all, me do it? 2000, me do it. No, son, mommy's in a real hurry. Let me feed you this time and you can feed yourself. No, me do it. Applesauce, applesauce don't come out of ears very easily. I'm preaching good. I'm preaching right down where we live. God says, I want to help you. And we go, me do it. And he's like, there's so much more I wanted to do in your life, but it's going to take me the next 3 months to clean you up. He wants me to do it. He wants me to walk, but he wants to teach me, and he wants me to do it when he knows I'm ready. Some of us went out of the boat way too soon. If this ain't helping anybody, it's helping me. That first storm, Jesus got in the boat with them. He said, let's go to the other side. And he knew before they got in the boat, there was a storm coming. He knew what was coming. He was there with them the whole time. This second storm, they were going exactly where Jesus told them to go, but he wasn't with them. The storm came, and the only reason they got any help was because they cried out in fear. Jesus had to learn how to talk so he could say, peace be still. And Fred, Jesus had to learn how to walk when he was 12 months old so he could come walking over the storm to get to me one day. I want you to look in John chapter 8. Oh, what a beautiful story this one is. Look in John chapter 8. Y'all there? Let your eyes flow over those verses. Let me just tell you the story, okay? You ready? They brought unto Jesus a woman taken in adultery in the very act. Okay? Everybody in here of any age understands exactly what happened. Look at me. It was a setup. They staged the whole thing. And then they busted in the room. It's a funny thing to me. I'll be real appropriate here, but I want us all to listen because our culture today is still messed up. It's a funny thing to me, they only brought one. One don't commit adultery, but they let their friend go. That's wicked as hell itself. And Cam, here they come with a woman. We're not even told if they had the decency to throw something over her. Flung her down at Jesus' feet. They had heard him preach. They had heard him rail on sin. They had heard him preach and call him a bunch of serpents. And they said, oh man, if he's that hard on the church people, you wait till we bring him a real sinner. Yeah, let's see what he says to this piece of work. I imagine a tear formed in his eye. And he did one thing, Brother Farmer. He knelt down and started writing. Who you reckon taught him his alphabet? Jesus had to learn to talk so he could say, peace be still. Jesus had to learn to walk so he could walk on the storms of my life. Jesus had to learn how to write so he could write a message of hope in the sand when everybody else gave up on her. Miss Tammy, we love you like a blood sister. Nobody in Western North Carolina gave you a snowball's chance in the lake of fire of making anything of your life. You were without hope. And Jesus stepped in and he wrote a message. Aren't you glad somebody taught him how to write? I do not know the Hebrew alphabet. Can I give you the English version? Aren't you glad somebody said A, B, C, D, E, F, G? And doesn't it get interesting here? H, I, J, K, L, Z, R, E. Look at me, church. Jesus didn't get it right the first time either. And they taught him his Hebrew alphabet, knowing one day he'd kneel down in the sand. What'd he write? I wish he'd have told us. One songwriter said he wrote, I forgive. Somebody speculated and said he started cataloging the sins of those Pharisees who were all around him. That, like, up on the big screen, that'd put you in the road, wouldn't it? So here's the lesson I want you to learn about Jesus' writing lesson. She was brought there, Jim, against her will. She was forced to be there, and she was in a very shameful condition when she got there, but she still got help. See, my dad went to church. I'm almost through, believe it or not. I'm almost through. We're going to go eat in that brand new fellowship hall. My dad went to church mad. We're so silly. We're like, if anything goes wrong in the service, the Holy Ghost can't move. No, this woman got drugged to church, literally. He went to church mad. And before he got over, the Holy Ghost said, you're lost and on your way to hell. And he said, I'm sitting here pouting. I don't want to hear it right now. He said, I'm going to tell you anyway. They woke him up. He was a graveyard shift worker, and they woke him up in the middle of the day. Let me tell you something. Don't wake up somebody who works third. Okay? You wives think your husband's an ill pill now. You let him work third. And they came knocking on the door and said, we want to tell you about Jesus. He had been raised at Tabernacle Baptist Church under Dr. Seitler. He knew all about Jesus. But there was one difference this afternoon. The Holy Ghost accompanied those two men onto that mill house porch. God got hold of his heart. So here's Jesus with a woman who doesn't want to be there. And Jesus looks at her and says, Elijah, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. If I told you he wanted to fill the empty space in your life, everybody in here would go, oh, that's precious. If I said he wants to forgive you of all your sins, you'd say, that's just, oh, I need that. Amen. But when he says, go and sin no more, we're like, ooh, you done quit preaching and gone to meddling. That's called repentance. Jesus came to deal with our sin problem. Yes, sir. I want to ask you something. When did Jesus put his finger on your sore spot and say, neither do I condemn thee? Woo! hallelujah, go and sin no more. Now, did she go and sin no more? No, we're sinners. And we got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. But I promise you, in her heart of hearts, she wanted to sin no more. You with me? And you know who didn't get help that day? The self-righteous partner who went out the back door and kept up his fornicating and adultery. Stay with me now and we'll be through. So, the reason Jesus came as a baby was He had to experience everything you and I have experienced in this sinful flesh. Hebrews 5, and I'm done. Hebrews 5, church. Talking about Jesus. It's a deep passage. I'm not going to get into the depths of it. Trust me, believe me. If you're a Bible student, He's talking about Jesus, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death and was heard in that He feared, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Being made perfect, being made complete. Church, He started off crying. He ended up with strong crying and tears unto Him who was able to save Him from death. And He knew in His heart of hearts He had to be killed. He had to be raised on the third day. And the Bible said at that point, He was being made perfect. He was being made complete for you and me. Seth, He would have never been complete had He not started out as a baby. You haven't endured anything. You haven't gone through anything Jesus hasn't been through. And He went through it for you. The Bible says in that last verse I just read, unto all that obey Him. Have you obeyed the gospel? What is the gospel? Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke and learn of Me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Listen to me. When were you born again? Not when did you repeat a prayer? Not when did you turn over a new leaf because you got caught in trouble? Not when were you sad at grandma's funeral? Went to a funeral last year and the preacher's gospel presentation was this: if you want to see grandma again, pray this prayer with me. I will see grandma. We sang about it. We cried about it. We testified. We lifted our hands about it. There's going to be a reunion. We'll see her. Jesus did not die so I can see grandma again. It's a benefit. It's wonderful. We shout about it and we should. But He died so I can be reconciled to a holy God. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you called on Jesus out of a true and sincere heart? Don't let any substitute take you to an eternity in hell. Religion is not going to save you. Giving your money is not going to save you. There's a lot of good people here today. Being a good person is not going to save you. Do you know Jesus?